time for The Daily Review, a podcast dedicated to reviews and discussion of TV, movies, and books. Look for us at Daily Review on Facebook and Twitter and dailyreview.com on the web. That's DaleyReview.com. This is Paul Daly here with my wife Caroline.
Hey guys!
And tonight we're here to discuss the third episode of The Orville, this one called About a Girl. This was a major step, I would say, in the progression of this show. Did you expect this kind of subject matter, you know, from this show?
I was a little bit surprised at how soon that it got into social issues like this. But I do know that Star Trek is well known for addressing social issues of the time. So I wasn't shocked to see them try to broach that. That seems like a very logical, as Spock would say, way to go about
nice,
it.
Nice, yes.
But I felt like I wasn't really expecting it on this third episode. I kind of thought like maybe this episode would be more of like a one episode adventure. So something that would start and end, but it would be like we would encounter somebody else and we'd have like some sort of minor victory over someone else. Because we're still sort of building our fortitude here, building our confidence as a crew. So I wasn't quite ready to go where they were going. Having said that, I do not think that it was an episode that was in any way unnecessary to the season. I think that the idea of addressing a vast variety of issues that they tried to tackle here, they were all worth it, you know, to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Well, last week, I remember you asking me, do I think that Seth MacFarlane was trying to create an homage or a spoof or a parody of Star Trek? I mean, this is only three episodes in, so he could come along next week and they go to the fart planet and, you know, all kinds
which is
of
kind of what I expected, to be honest.
But this seems like straight up homage to me. It's definitely not a spoof. There are things that he is poking fun at, but he's not just mocking anything. And in fact, he's carrying on the tradition of the 60s television show in particular with commentary on social issues.
I was thinking about this when I was driving today. I thought, you know, this show could be a real Trojan horse situation because on the surface, it just seems like it's just fun and it's silly and it does have their dick jokes and fart jokes and all that kind of stuff. But maybe in doing that, they're possibly cracking open a door to an entire section of the populace who maybe weren't going to even turn on even Star Trek because the way that it tries to take things more seriously. And so maybe by doing this, there's a whole section of the population that you can say, hey, look at me, I'm doing this. And oh, by the way, treat women just as well as you treat men. Anyway, ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Like maybe you're actually getting something across. It's like having like the Animal Planet information packet in your Happy Meal. It's like, you know, it's like without knowing it, you just learned something. Ha ha ha. I think that they did it with so many issues on this one that maybe that's what was a little bit surprising.
So it's like social justice for the bro crowd.
Yeah. And maybe even, you know, it could be an age, you know, where maybe you could reach some younger people possibly. And then also like you said, just sort of more that like, you know, a guy who's not going to watch a movie about social change. But, you know, if you pack it on in there with some other, you know, goofy jokes and stuff, maybe just possibly some information could slip in.
Along with being part of the tradition of Star Trek, it's also a part of what drives the best, most memorable science fiction. I mean, there's a lot of people that think science fiction is well, if it's got a laser gun, that's science fiction. But that, I mean, yeah, I don't know, kind of. But the best science fiction does this. It looks at something happening today, extrapolates it forward, and says, look at it another way. Its goal is to leave the reader or the watcher with questions, much like this episode did.
I love that analysis. I think you're exactly right. And there's so many other shows that we watch, whether it's like Colony or The Handmaid's Tale or Westworld, that, you know, bring up these question marks that are like, you know, well, wait a minute, that the way that you do things now, that all seems very quote unquote normal. If you took it just a little bit further, look how perverted it looks from another point of view, or look at just how absolutely silly you'd feel if we were in the future and we were going through this and looking back. So I agree with you. Science fiction can be amazing like that.
This is Seth MacFarlane, though, so it's almost like he couldn't help himself with that stupid blob sequence at the beginning of the episode.
Okay, so there was two sequences in this that I thought were just sort of shunted in there. Like, they didn't feel like they went along with the show at all. And then at the same time, they felt like something like maybe someone wrote a gag and they were like, okay, well, so we should drop two gags off the gag list into this episode. So just pick any two and put them in. And you're right, the blob one with the doctor, we had just had such a successful episode with the doc to kind of dumb it down to this situation, you know, with the blob poking out like a fake blob dick at her. Do you think even that was supposed to be some sort of sexual harassment type commentary? Because here we were thinking the doctor was just like so respectable, and I thought the blob was like a cute, nice little guy or whatever. Like, he seemed kind of funny to me. And then to have this scenario, you're like, wait a minute, I have like kind of a bad taste.
I looked at this a couple different ways. One way was a very broad, magnanimous, kind of permissive view, where in this world where we just saw this whole Machlin race be very insular and everything has to be by the book and this is exactly how it's got to be with our species and there's no other way to do it, here we have this blob who can, by his very nature being a blob, he can take any shape, right? He's completely open-minded.
Right. Interspecies, even. Right. Forget about guys and girls. He's like any types.
Right. But then the whole rest of the episode is spent not preaching, but definitely being like kind of finger waving about sexism. But then we have it on our own ship with this blob guy.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff wouldn't even fly now.
Maybe that would be considered that part where they say there's like casual racism or casual sexism or that type of thing. Maybe that's what that would be considered. So let's think about that. So here we have an episode where we have the main characters all fighting for justice for women, right? Respect women, let's respect women. And then you're right. In the sick bay, here we have our most respected, I think, crew member getting sexually harassed by an alien. What, that is commentary unto itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's happening right under their nose. When I saw that, I was like, I can't go to work and show anybody my dick. I would get in trouble for that.
Oh my God.
But beyond that, I was wondering just what exactly happens in the standards and practices offices at Fox.
Hey, you know what? Just like a FYI, not even just at work. You know what? Like, keep your dick in your pants at all times in public, you know, unless you're in like, you know, the restroom. These are kind of like very appropriate places. But generally speaking, it's not just work. You know, don't do that.
Good tip. Good tip.
I felt like I wanted to stop there because I didn't want you to go any further and think like just at work. That was like our rule.
Right. Well, the show did just show the workplace. But yeah, okay. It's a generalized rule. I know it was a blob dick, but it was still a dick, right? I mean, is there anybody out there that was confused about what his intent was?
No, but I think that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that Fox and everybody thought that that was okay and that they were condoning sexual harassment. I don't think anyone thought that. The blob was made out to be a jerk and a jackass.
For sure.
So it's not,
I mean,
like,
you don't get Norm Macdonald to voice, you know, the Dalai Lama type creature.
Nice. So I think they did display what they thought about it, which was it's shitty and you shouldn't do it and it makes everybody feel terrible. So don't do it. Don't do it.
You said two scenes. Now, what was the other scene?
Other scene was presented in a kind of a confusing fashion because it was our very Three Amigo-esque, you know, right up on this church kind of scene. Mm-hmm. And we have a guy up on the roof with a gun. I didn't know what was going on. I really thought like maybe they were on a mission. I'm sure it was wholly supposed to make you feel like they were out on a planet on a mission. And so when that entire thing went down, it went into a dance off and all that stuff. even the dance the man did, like, I felt embarrassed for the actor who had to do those dance moves because the whole thing was just like humiliating and silly.
I think what I learned from that sequence, that sequence that overstayed its welcome by a few minutes, was that Malloy might just have a screw loose.
Dude, the camera stayed on that man up there, and he was like done doing his dance. And so he was doing just this hand jive, kind of like trying to almost get off screen. Like, it was kind of like, cut the scene. It was so overstayed its welcome.
If you're one of my friends out there in the world, and we ever get to go to the holodeck, and you make our showdown into a dance-off, I will kill you. Okay, this is our holodeck time, and you...
Yeah, and you could have done anything.
Destroy the whole thing.
You could have done anything, and you made it a dance-off. Yeah, it was goofy. And you know what was more than that? Maybe the premise wasn't that bad, but the execution was terrible. Maybe it could have been funny to have a dance-off if the dance moves were funny and cool, and like you could have easily laughed. But there's like dancing that you laugh at and dancing you cringe at, and this whole thing, it all turned into a like, just let's go to the bar and get a drink, this is embarrassing, I don't want to see this person dance like this anymore. You know, it's like not even enjoyable for anybody.
Well, besides those two scenes, the rest of the plot focused in on the result of last week's final scene, the birth of Bordas and Clyden's child, female child. So we have a ton of development with Bordas, some on Clyden, and some on the universe we live in when we watch The Orville.
There were so many societal issues that I think they were trying to address that I feel so nervous that we are going to miss one. So I hesitate to point out any particular one, but I don't think we can talk about this without kind of like separating it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm giving that disclaimer. It would be so easy to find probably 100 different subtle things that they were trying to address, but we're going to try to hit some of the big ones. And
so what you're saying, just to restate for anybody listening, is that we may bring up an example from the show, but if we miss the example that you identify with the most, it's not really because we're out to just forget that one issue.
Not at all.
It's because there were so many issues.
Well, and I feel like it's that maybe that's part of the interesting nature of this particular episode, is that I think no matter what's going on in your particular life, you might zero in on a particular part of the show. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, I think that when you watch it, you see so many things that are going on. Maybe that's because you're very woke and you see a lot of injustices going on in the world. Maybe you came in and you're grappling with a particular problem. Maybe you are dealing with workplace harassment. And so the only scene that really spoke to you and you felt like, oh, for that doctor, and you just felt like, I hate that blob so much, was that scene. Whereas maybe the scene where the writer comes in, the female Mocklin comes in and says, you know, everybody participates in the society and can contribute in a different way. If you're dealing with something within your family, maybe everybody's a doctor and you're not, and you feel like your voice was never heard to say, you know what, not everybody is this particular profession. Everybody has to be different things, and including artists and writers, and maybe things that can be marginalized compared to maybe really high dollar professions. I felt like there was like a moment there where, you know, the writers themselves in the TV show had an opportunity to say, like, we're contributing too, everybody. Even if it's in a silly TV show, there's something for everybody.
Let me break in there with a nerd trivia.
Oh,
tidbit.
Like, hold on. It's like,
yeah. The idea of the alien race in Star Trek, it was often Klingons, but to a humorous extent, Chekhov, the Russian, also did this, where they quoted their own literature all the time for different things, wherever they seemed it was apropos. And they would often seem to appropriate another culture's literature, but call it their own. That was a very familiar sight, seeing Bordas quote literature, seeing the other council quote literature. And it was, I mean, I don't want to sound stupid, but it was kind of delicious for it to be the woman Mocklin,
of course,
that had written it. I mean,
no, that's not stupid at all. I mean, that is the irony.
No,
right?
I mean, I don't want to choose a stupid word. Not that the idea is stupid.
Delicious is a kind of a funky word, but I'm with you. Yes, 100%. Yes,
the show would have been great even without that, but that was like a turn of the screw that just made it like that much better, you know?
Absolutely. And I saw many people tweeted that they were like, the fact that they made the woman a writer and everything at the end was like, da-da! You know, that was just perfect. There are so many layers here, but let's get started right with Bordas's baby, which was this concept of gender, feeling like one gender is superior to another, and therefore we would go to the great extremes to actually surgically switch genders on a newborn baby without, you know, any type of consent or without it being a medical necessity.
Now, I did a little research. I found that the show that the Orville most closely emulates right now has been the original series, the 60s series with Captain Kirk. That show tackled all kinds of issues, but sexism hadn't really gotten its legs under it just yet. So although there was a female bridge crew member with Uhura, who also happened to be black, most of the women in the show were featured in subservient roles, very few lines.
And a lot of like eye candy.
They had very short skirts. They had like the
very form-fitting everything, yeah.
And so it's a way to modernize, I guess, that concept of breaking new ground with social commentary and adding sexism to the roster of things that we'd like to talk about from that original model of the original Star Trek series. What did you think of Bordas's progression? Did you believe it?
I did believe it because I felt like they had attempted to reach Bordas in so many different ways. You know, we had the stern conversation with the captain. We had Alara take him boxing and have her show that females are just as strong as males, even more so in her case. We had Malloy and Lamar have him watch the Rudolph tale. And I felt like, you know, as soon as I heard the voice on that thing, I turned to you and I was like, oh boy, they're going to point out individual differences. And, you know, and they went right to that. And I thought, you know, in a way, it seemed like we had to reach Bordas. But again, I feel like that this was an attempt to reach people in different ways. So, you know, if you had a guy who was watching who just felt like physical strength was everything, then Alara's thread of the story address that. If you had, you know, somebody who was more like or just a younger person or somebody who maybe had forgotten the parts of being a kid and watching something like Rudolph and being like, yeah, we should accept everyone. Maybe you're currently young or maybe you are older and you had that feeling when you were young and this was sort of like a reminder, like, oh yeah, remember when Rudolph did help save the day with his, you know, deformed nose?
Right.
You know, that these are the kinds of things that change really anybody's heart in our current society. So I thought that his progression was believable. Did you feel the same way?
I did. But it was very heartening for me to see the consistency in the character. If you remember from the pilot, when Bordas was left in command of the ship, he ran things by the book. And they were getting their asses handed to them by the much bigger ship. And then Malloy offered to hug the donkey. And that saved their bacon. It was against Bordas's like training and experience to leave it up to this kind of brash hot shot, but he did it because it was their best shot to live. So that says to me, this is a guy who is not so set in his ways that he can't adapt. And it was that adaptation that probably on behalf of the writers very skillfully let us think that maybe other Mocklins could adapt as well. You know, they didn't, but it gave us some hope, right? That this one guy who seems like he's a hard ass kind of guy, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And I took it more like I appreciate when you're consistent with characters. So I mm-hmm. feel definitely like I wasn't hoping that the Mocklins would change their mind because Bordas changed his mind. But I was happy to see that, you know, Bordas from episode one was a guy who could see an opportunity to change how he thought and was willing to for sort of the greater good, if you will. And I appreciate that he was willing to listen to evidence and you know, weigh it out and do the best for everybody. So I think that from a writing standpoint, I am very glad that they managed to lay those little bricks along the way so that we could see him really be a full character.
Now, as a counterpoint, we had Clyden, who at first was presented as just a conservative, you know, fundamental thinker. Mocklins are boys. That's it. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the twist that Clyden reveals?
To me, again, I took it not as literally as it was. So I'm sure from different walks of life, you could see it and take it very literally. But I took it almost more like hearing a parent say like, well, you know, I'm a lawyer. And if being a lawyer is good enough for me, then that's good enough for you. Why wouldn't it be good enough for my child? Parent, I lived my life and had a certain experience. And now here's my child. And why wouldn't that child's experience need to mirror mine? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I was taking it more from that standpoint.
I loved how it took this idea of black and white, right and wrong, and put kind of a three-dimensional angle to it. You know, like there's the people that have always been male, and you kind of assume that of the entire race. But what if you have one that has undergone this procedure? And they still think it's the right thing to do, you know? So,
well, or they have bought into the societal norms, right? Well, so maybe they don't think it's the right thing to do, like from the get-go, but because that they've been told and then they've had these experiences, then they go with it.
Well, it's the experiences that are informing Clyden the most, I think, because he says something to the effect of, I love my life here with you. Mm-hmm. I would not have been able to have it if I would have remained female. That's a perspective never considered and it was surprising for me to hear and think about it.
It was more compelling. It wasn't so simple then. You know, the choice was not just, well, you can't alter a newborn. That's not acceptable. We don't do that. It's not ethical on this ship. You can't just have that attitude when you then have Clyden, who is like, but listen, you know, these are the traditions and customs of our race, our species, and so therefore you need to respect them. It does make you, you know, take pause, like, oh boy, you know, what is acceptable? How far do we go?
There was that conversation between Ed and Kelly in the bar where he presents the idea of, well, what if our kid had three legs? Is it wrong to have that third leg taken off, even though there are three-legged species out in the world? It's almost like societal norms and what's okay. It's almost like it needs physical boundaries in order for people to just even make sense of what's okay here. Because the idea of just a universal truth gets kind of blown out the window here.
Well, and we have a very personal experience with that, in that we have a child who is both deaf and blind. Now, there isn't currently any surgeries that we could do beyond what we've already done to correct those things for her. But if, you know, she is different than us because we can see and hear. But if we lived in a society who nobody could see and hear, you know, would we think twice about it? It's just because we're all different than she is, you know, but she learns things and does things all in her own ways. And they're all very valid ways to do things. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how she does engage with the world and participate in activities. And you're like, I never would have thought to do it that way. But because, you know, she's approaching it from a non-visual, non-hearing standpoint. So it made me think a little bit about that third leg kind of comment as like, well, what would you do? How would you handle that situation? And you know, do we remove it here because this is where we live and this is how it is now? It does make me open up the door a little bit to the idea of like, maybe as our universe does expand and we do find that there are people with all types of bodies, all types of brains, we might find that the way that our autistic children think in our own family will be the norm there. And it's like, oh my God, you were just born on the at the wrong place at the wrong time in terms of the way everyone else is thinking. But for you guys, like you guys are doing it perfectly if we were in this other place, you know, and we've kind of referred to that, you know, when we're at places where there's a lot of other deafblind people, we'll be like, man, I love it because it just feels like it, the mixture is more even and you feel like there's nothing wrong with any of us. Some of us can see, some of us can hear, some of us can't, but like we can all get along and be fine and not think anything of it.
And it's funny when you think about it, we're so deeply entrenched in our own life, because how else do you live your life besides being deeply entrenched in it, that I'm sure there are people out there that would look at what we're doing and the way we have to do things and be like, well, that's the wrong way to do that. And we'd be like, well, you're a piece of shit and we don't give a care about you, you know?
Right. Or at least we would say, how can you possibly know what it is like? Not unlike Bordas talking to the captain and saying like, you don't have any right to judge how we do things. You have no idea what the norms are in our own household, in our own lives, in deafblind culture. Like you don't know what deafblind culture is. You don't know that you don't grab her hands. You don't know that you don't lead her by the shoulders. You don't know that. And so you don't tell me how to do it. You know, and those kinds of things are like, again, until you've lived it, until that's your norm, you know, you can't expect that other people are going to understand.
Deep stuff.
It's really deep. And that's where I'm saying, like, our experience with that, I would bet that a minuscule amount of people had that same type of deafblind, you know, introspection about this episode. But I think if you're somebody who is struggling with your own gender identity, certainly there's a lot going on here. If you're somebody who is struggling with sexism or I guess racism was in this one in terms of like interspecies. What do you call that? Like speciesism or something like that. The way humans do things would be better or more right than the way that the Mocklins do it.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, there was that element. We have, again, like the professional kind of side where we have like, you know, she's a writer and all this kind of stuff. And she's trying to say like, I contribute just as much, you know, and in this world, we all have different gifts. And there was so many layered parts. We're always going to have a little bit of a hard time, I think, with this show, because there's always going to be those elements of, I'll tell you one particular moment, when Bordas and Clyden went into the replicator room and they were gathering their supplies. Mm-hmm. And there was the other alien who was in there and he was making himself a fabulous throw pillow. And, you know, and Bordas and Clyden are trying to have a very intimate private conversation. They're like, get out. And he's like, dick. Gotta say, you know, it takes you out of the moment for a second. And so it's a challenging kind of moment. And that's what I mean about like, that's what's difficult about the show, I think, at times, or challenging about the show is trying to not only to write it and perform it as both a comedy and have your serious beats, but even as an audience member, sometimes it can be hard to click back and forth to be like, I'm invested in this conversation between Bordas and Clyden. I want Bordas to get across to Clyden how important this is. And then you have this, you know, alien with this silly throw pillow be like, dick, in the middle of it.
It's almost like they have a timer, like
kind of, yeah,
kind of like how certain shows have seem to have a timer for either action or sex.
Yes,
nudity. This show seems to have one for laughs, and it kind of blows the quasi military aspect of the ship out for me. There is no way in any military that you could get away with calling the ship's third in command a dick. Your life is over.
Yeah, you're right. And I didn't even take that position, but you're exactly right. That like sometimes they need to not give up the actual fabric that they're trying to weave here of this reality, right? In order to be able to have the joke. Mm-hmm. So like if he is third in command, then don't have a subordinate say dick just for a laugh. And then move on, like as if Bordas wouldn't do anything to punish him or, you know, even say anything sternly to him.
Bordas is having a bad effing day.
Yeah, he could have choked that dude out. He could have like Darth Vader just like across the room at him, right?
And who are you going to believe?
And here's the thing for me that I just keep going back to. I don't think it has to be that heavy handed. I don't think he had to say dick in this loud, really like almost like a, it almost like was like an echo chamber because like nothing else was happening. Not an echo chamber. It was almost happening like the spotlight was so on him and what his response was, like, what's his funny line going to be, that it just was like so loud and so callous. He could have made a hilarious, like, whatever, you know, kind of like sassy kind of look or joke or something. And I would have totally chuckled and thought it was funny and it would have broke the seriousness for me. But I don't think it had to be like that harsh, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess that that's where a little bit, I need them to speak to me a little bit more. I like that they, or I can at least understand and appreciate that they're trying to reach that bro, frat guy kind of mentality. I get that. And that's where dick, that lands. Great. Awesome. But every once in a while, I need you to do something that's like funny and just like clever funny or a little bit sassy, witty funny that is not quite that harsh.
I mean, that just seemed out of place. I agree. I mean, and now, since they've shown us a new alien, the nerd in me is like, well, what kind of alien is that? What's his deal?
So you know what would have been funny, really funny to me? Honestly, really funny.
What's that?
If the guy had his little pillow and the guy said, like, get out or whatever. And if he was like replicator, like I don't know, like symbols or something. And then it like symbols went up and he was like, da 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 da. And he like went out the room like loud and proud, like making like all kinds of ruckus and everything. Like, oh, am I in your way? Am I in your space? Are you having a private moment? Nee, 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 nee. And like totally like just exploited that. I would have laughed. I would have been like, oh my God, that's so freaking funny, right?
Or would it have been funny also might have been, what if that pillow was for the baby? And then he just
like ripped it in half or something.
He just stuck it back into the replicator beam and it just like burned it up.
I love it. See, that would have been super funny. Yeah. Or if it was some sort of baby gift, obviously you're right. And he's like walks out and they show in the background, he like throws it in the trash or something. We would have cracked up. We would have cracked up harder at that than dick, like screaming in your face. Like not as funny, you know? So I'm with you. Like there's more there to cull through and to go through. Let's talk a little bit about how this episode upset some people in terms of the ending.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a spectrum of people responding to this show. There's going to be the people that are like, well, I gave it 3 tries. I hated that ending, so I'm never watching again. That's going to be like a sliver, you know? And then there's going to be the people that fell into the trap and were like, well, Bordas changed his mind. And they made a really good argument. They brought in the woman and she was important. So clearly any rational person would change their mind. And then there's the true science fiction fans that are like, no way, they'd never change their mind. I mean,
that's interesting. But see, even having watched science fiction movies with you plenty, though typically the science fiction nerds all get the, you know, there's ups and downs along the way. By the end of the day, though, they usually succeed in getting the mission completed. And in this case, what made this, I think, especially unsettling for people is the fact that the Mauchlin race goes through with the surgical change of the baby. I think that there was a lot of people who thought, that's not fair. You know, they just spent an entire episode explaining to you guys why that's not a good idea, why you should accept people for their differences, why you need to be more open-minded. And, you know, you had a million different examples placed before you and your species still chose to alter the child. I think that they felt a little bit like unrewarded. Like it was like, that's not fair.
In response to the article, the review that we just posted, comment came from Timothy Carroll, where he helped me remember that it was the Next Generation, where the writers were willing to have the show end on a downbeat. I knew that it happened, but I couldn't remember when and where. And off the top of this guy's head, he remembered all these examples of times when the Enterprise just had to give up. They'd be like, well, we've done all we can do here. We just got to go. Do you remember Commander Data?
Yes.
Did you know that he built his own offspring in one episode? He made himself a daughter.
Okay.
But the advancements that he made in her brain and her systems, they accelerated her lifespan, and she died in that same episode. That's pretty sad shit, right?
Right. Very unexpected.
Right. I mean, here's a guy who is struggling for humanity. He is trying to become more human. In doing so, he attacks this project that teaches him the biggest human lesson of all, the one about life and death. And that's a very harsh way to have an episode go, you know?
Absolutely. But I think even in that case, I'm going to say for the life and death one, that's still a lesson for humanity, right? Life and death, and you have to accept that type of thing. Then maybe I will even layer in that one of the things maybe they're even trying to teach us is that sometimes you lose. Sometimes you fight the good fight and you still lose. And that's what, you know, ultimately happened in this episode. You know, Kelly and the captain and everybody went through such great lengths to make the case for Bordas. And at the end of the day, they lost. And for me, I feel like you can take it like they lost and it's sad and it's disappointing. Or you can take it like the episode left it like, and there's still work to be done. You know, there's still minds that we haven't changed, even for the couple of minds we did, even for Bordas, or even if Clyden was willing to go along with this long term or something. At the end of the day, there's still so much more work to be done.
I have a theory about Kelly and her representation of Bordas in the tribunal. And this is just a wild guess that I'm probably just making this up, right?
Okay.
I'm probably giving Ed too much credit, but when Bordas selected him to represent him in the tribunal, mm-hmm. I'm gonna think that Kelly is a better match for this. I mean, I know we came up with that you know 1 year of law reason, but I think he thought it would be more important for a woman to do it than to have him do it.
I think that thinking is flawed from a very fundamental place.
Oh, geez, fundamentally flawed. Okay.
Because that is sort of the attitude that people have is like, well, if this is a female issue, you're trying to change minds about a female issue, then really the females need to speak up for this. And the reality of the situation was it would be just as powerful for Ed to stand up and say, women are amazing. Women are just as good as men. That is something that you've heard many, many times, is that if you are in a position of a privileged male, part of your responsibilities to the rest of us is not to hand the job off to the woman to say, okay, this is a woman's issue, so I think a woman should handle this. It's like, no, your voice should be just as strong and just as loud for both the men and the women on this ship and in this universe.
Oh, geez. I just fell into the trap.
You did. It's not the trap. It's you fell into old world thinking that, like, you know, that the idea is like maybe they thought the message would come better from a female. Why would that be? If you are just as convinced that women are just as good as men, then that message should sound just as clear and just as strong from a man because we're thinking the same thing.
Wow, my eyes are open now.
Yeah, he's woke, y'all. Watch out. He's going to be up all night.
Hashtag woke.
Yeah, and it's the truth. And honestly, I felt a little bit weird about that. The only thing I kind of thought was that maybe they felt like, what would Kelly do in this episode if it wasn't something? Or maybe they thought, I don't know. Some people do have what you were thinking, that sort of thought that like, well, you don't sideline the female then in a female empowerment episode. That would be weird. But I think maybe they should have double teamed it and they should have both been up there. You know, one could have done opening arguments. Well, they could have been like a legal team. There was no reason not to be a legal team.
To an extent, Ed did play an important role.
But then they should have just allowed him to like be co-counsel. Like they should have co-counseled that. And then he like needs to excuse himself and he goes finds other evidence. Awesome. Perfect. That's great. You know, but just you could look at it like it's bringing up a great conversation even within our own house to say, you know what, just because it's a female issue, that doesn't mean mom has to handle it. That's ridiculous. It's a human issue. You can deal with it just as much as I can. And that's a big part of what's going on right now in today's society. If you want to know what to me is the most like on the edge of like what everyone's talking about, like say Handmaid's Tale. It's not just the job of the women to speak up for the women. Where are the men speaking up for the women, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's a conversation we had lots and lots, is like, if you want to talk about, you know, female rights, that you're talking about human rights. You know, this isn't, don't Don't make this a, well, you guys go fight your fight. We'll be over here. Let us know how it all turns out. So I think that it, again, this episode is very layered. I think that you could, so you can look at it like a frat boy, fart joke, dick joke kind of thing. Or you can say, look, they chose a vehicle, just like, you know, any other genre has chosen a different vehicle, maybe a cartoon, maybe, you know, it's a children's show, or it's a, like I said, like your cereal box or something, where they're trying to get information in and they put it in a packaging that maybe seems kind of goofy to you. But maybe there's still some substance in there. And I think everybody should give it a shot. There's one last thing that I have to say that I think this is a real life thing. And I think this is going to affect our plot point going forward.
Oh, I love predictions.
Okay. I totally think Adrian Pilecki is pregnant. I watched how they did these scenes this last episode. I saw the way that she was sitting in the chair. There's a scene when they're in the bar. The two of them are as thick as one another, like looking at Seth and her. They do the telltale. This is so many women do this, y'all, where you wear like a black shirt underneath and you wear like a jacket kind of open and unzipped like she did. That is supposed to be all kinds of camouflagey and everything. Honestly, I think that that's going to be written into the show in a way that I think that Ed and Kelly will end up having a baby on this ship. And I think that that's where so many things, if we look back, we'll say, oh, you know, look, like we were talking about, Clyden lives on the ship. Oh, look, their Bordas has a baby. Oh, look, you know, this wouldn't be weird for the crew to have another baby on the ship. And then what do you have? Bordas's little baby and Kelly and Ed's little baby running around. Like, they're already making up, like, buddies, you know, like a playgroup for this for this baby. So that is my prediction, is that we're gonna see them get together, we're gonna see a baby from the two of them in the future. What do you think's coming up in the next couple of episodes? What do you see happening?
I think we get back to the business of space exploration right away.
What was the mission of the Orville to begin with?
They're a mid-sized exploratory vessel.
Oh, just exploratory. Yeah. Okay.
So I think it is very Star Trek-y in that way. I think that there's a lot. The universe of the Planetary Union seems to have quite a bit more figured out than does Starfleet in terms of like stellar cartography and stuff like that. But still, I think there's plenty left to explore, and there's plenty of, you know, the Enterprise was always running courier missions for stuff or for people, delivering supplies, that kind of stuff. That there's always stuff to do like that. So I think we're going to get back to that normal business soon. I do like these multiple episode arcs, though, and I do hope that we get a lot more of that moving forward.
Does there seem like there's anybody else character-wise that's starting to simmer to the top? Like, well, whose episode? We've had Alara be a spotlight, now we've had a Bordas. Does that mean we've got to have, like, a Malloy or a Lamar coming up in this next one?
Out of those two, I would bet Malloy.
Me too.
But, you know, maybe we have to go back to Ed and Kelly.
All right, we'll look forward to next week.
Can't wait. Thanks. If you're interested in reading our full review, go check us out on somanyshows.com. That's all one word, somanyshows.com. It's the Orville episode 103 about a girl review. And you will find points relating to what we said here in the podcast, but you'll find a little bit more embellishment relating to parallels with Star Trek and some of the consistency within the show's own mythology relating to, like, you know, technology, that kind of stuff. So again, please go check that out on somanyshows.com. Thanks. Catch us on iTunes or your preferred podcast software. Our website, dailyreview.com, that's D-A-L-E-Y review.com. Facebook or Twitter or wherever you find us. Please leave us a comment and a rating to let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for listening, pod people. Thanks for listening to my mom and dad.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Just go home, folks.